Next on our agenda are the Judicial Council members' liaison reports. And I believe we have two folks who have, two members who have met with some superior courts, and I'll ask and start with Judge Stephen Baker reporting on his visits to two superior courts.
All right, thank you, Chief, and good morning, everyone. I have two reports to provide. First of all, I'll start with MODOC County. I visited MODOC County Superior Court on January 10. MODOC County is located in the northeastern corner of the state. It has a population of approximately 9,500 people and includes an area of almost 4,000 square miles. The county seat is Alturas, which according to the city limits signed last month, had a population of 2,827 people. Place. MODOC is the third least populated county in the state behind only Alpine and Sierra. There's only one courthouse in MODOC County, which is located in Alturas. It's one of the most remote courthouses in the state. The next closest Superior Court is located to the south in Lassen County, which is over 100 miles away. There are two authorized judicial positions in MODOC County. The presiding judge is Fritz Barclay, the assistant presiding judge is Dave Mason. When I visited, I met with both of these gentlemen and their CEO, Rhonda Geisen. They were all very enthusiastic and needed me to discuss state and local issues and providing a tour of the facility. The court operates with 10 staff, which is down from over 14 in fiscal year 08-09. The court is usually a single court. The main courthouse was built in 1914. It's a beautiful building, but it's in major disrepair and has no security. This building is a mixed-use building. It continues to be used by various county departments, but the 1A courtroom is now only a ceremonial. You can see from these photographs, the steps are crumbling. You can see exposed rebar and columns are crumbling as well. It's really a shame. It's a beautiful, middle-classic building. This hasn't been kept up. Court operations have moved next door to a single-story facility, which was built in the early 1990s. This facility is named the Robert A. Barclay Justice Center after presiding judge Fritz Barclay's great father, who was a prominent MODOC County Superior Court judge, noted for his involvement in trial court consolidation, and also a member of the Judicial Council. Both judges share a single courtroom in this relatively small facility. They stagger their calendars on a weekly basis. The small size and remoteness of this court, the judicial assignments are unique. Both judges are required to handle a broad variety of matters, and potential conflicts require judicial exchanges with neighboring counties. In this regard, MODOC County has received several PLEPS awards in the last number of years for its creative use of the exchange process. For example, several years ago, MODOC County entered into a consolidated calendaring arrangement with neighboring Siskiyou County. This involved Siskiyou and MODOC judges hearing matters in Doris, California, on the Siskiyou side of the border, and Tule Lake, California, on the MODOC side of the border. This arrangement obviously saved enormous expenses that would otherwise be generated by the use of assigned judges and promoted improved public access to courts for the citizens in this very remote area. Unfortunately, the budget crisis has caused this arrangement to be considerably downsized. There's only the Doris facility in Siskiyou County that continues to be available. Weather permitting, the MODOC judges continue to routinely engage in exchanges with Siskiyou, Lassen, and Plumas counties. They make minimal use of the assigned judges program. Here's a photograph of the staggered calendaring system the two judges use in that county as they show the single courtroom. In the last 5 years, the court's budget has declined over 17%. Due to their small size, this court relies heavily upon all the services provided by the ASC, and the judges asked me to express to the council, that to the council. They also benefit substantially from their relationships with other courts. The judges are also appreciative of legal assistance they receive from Sacramento County legal assistance. These assistants help with bits of habeas corpus, and some civil matters, and they also ask that I relate to the council if they are hopeful that they can continue this arrangement. Bottom line, the Modoc County Superior Court has done a remarkable job of operating in the shoestring budget by using some of the creative measures I noted, and they very much appreciate the liaison process to council. That concludes my report in Modoc County.
Thank you.
I'll next report on a visit to Humboldt County Superior Court. I visited the Humboldt County Superior Court on January 3. I rendezvoused there with the administrative director, Judge Jarr, who was in the area visiting Del Norte County Superior Court. So they've got a twofer. Both of us were there, and it was really a useful and very enjoyable day. The two of us met with Presiding Judge Dale Reinholdson and Assistant Presiding Judge Joyce Heinrichs, and the CEO Kerry Keenan, and the Assistant CEO Stephanie Cameron. During a tour of the facilities, we met most of the other judges on the bench as well. This is a mixed-use facility. You can see a photograph of it on the screen. It's shared with the county. Obviously, we were there on a very foggy day. Humboldt County, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, is located in the northwestern corner of the state, just below Del Norte County. It has a population of about 135,000 people and involves an area also about 4,000 square miles as large county. The county seat is Eureka, which has a population of about 27,000 people. There's one courthouse in Humboldt County, which is located in Eureka. This is a mixed-use facility with the county. The Superior Court picked up about 35,000 square feet of the facility. Most entrances are protected by unarmed private security. However, the clerk's office is on the unsecured side of the building behind glass. The courthouse side of the building was erected in the late 1950s. As the court has grown, the facility has grown more inadequate as a public courthouse. Jury deliberation rooms, judges' chambers, and prisoner holding cells show the same hallway. There are no attorney conference rooms, no private places to review a file, no child care areas, and no spaces for the public to gather. Some of the courtrooms are smaller than current standards, and furnishings are old and in disrepair. This is a photograph of one of the smaller courtrooms. You can see our administrative director there in the middle of the photograph. And this is a photograph I took of the jury seating panel. This is the council table. You can see with upholstery and commission oak tables. This is the jury seating area, also with upholstery. And some of the photographs I'm not showing included duct tape holding some of these seats to go. At this time, it's anticipated that the next new judgeship will require the court to locate a courtroom on the fifth floor, which is accessed by a single small elevator, which starts on the fourth floor. This, I believe, is a photograph of the clerk's area, which is not in a secure area of the building, but it is behind glass, which I assume is for the fourth floor. There are seven judges and one commissioner in Humboldt County, which is approximately 25% less than what's needed based upon the most recent judicial needs assessment. The court is very pleased that it will be receiving a new judicial position once funding is approved by the legislature. But as I noted, the court has concerns about where they would place that much needed judge inside the facility. Since fiscal year 08-09, this court has incurred cuts totaling over 18% of its revenue and went for a further reduction based on the new Laughlin reallocation formula. The court currently operates with 86 staff, which is down 18% from the 93 positions which were filled in fiscal year 08-09. Voluntary furloughs have been in effect every year since fiscal year 09-2010, and it's anticipated that furloughs in the next fiscal year will become mandatory if the budget is not approved. Budget cuts have also caused the court to reduce limited jurisdiction calendars in outlying areas such as Hoopa and Garberville from once a week to once a month. These areas are a considerable distance from the main courthouse, separated by mountainous roads. This obviously increases hardship and reduces access to the citizens living in those remote regions. The two biggest concerns of this court at this time are funding and facilities. The judges and staff appear to be very diligent, hardworking, have a remarkable equanimity as they handle a very large caseload with limited resources. Currently, the clerk's office closes at 2 p.m. To the public. The court is hopeful that normal hours can be restored if funding improves. We were there on a Friday and into the afternoon, and the court was quite busy requiring several of the judges whom we met to get back on the bench. They were all very appreciative of the visit, and I wish to convey to the council that the services they are receiving from the AOC for a court their size are quote-unquote invaluable. For example, the judges and administration specifically cited labor negotiations, legal services, they don't have their own general counsel. The assigned judges program and security issue consulting, just to name a few of the services that they received from the AOC, it could not offer without that very important help. They are appreciative of all the work done by the council, and they very much appreciated this liaison program. So unless Judge Jarr has anything to add, that concludes my report.
Thank you, Judge Baker.
Completely thorough.
Thank you, Chief. That concludes my report.
Thank you. These are invaluable to us since we can't get out there. Thank you very much. Next, yes, Senator.
Humboldt County happens to be in my state district, and I visited with the judges last year, had a tour of the facility. Everything you said is completely accurate and correct. And the one thing I would add is the photographs don't do it justice. The facilities are very cramped, and I'm not even sure in some cases that they're entirely ADA compliant. So there's a number of challenges up there, and they do really good work under very difficult circumstances, and they do work really well together as a team. I think that they try to provide the best service they can. I'm a real strong advocate of Humboldt County here, where they did a marvelous job.
Thank you, Senator Evans. Thank you. Yes, Judge Stout.
I just wanted to add my compliments to the bench in Humboldt County. I think they are on the forefront of really working cooperatively with their tribal courts and their jurisdiction. They've done a wonderful job and should be commended.
Thank you. Next, we'll hear from Judge McCabe and his report.
All right. Thank you, Chief. On January 24th, I met with the judicial officer, CEO, and CFO for the Tulare Superior Court. I orally summarized to the group major events and work by the Judicial Council over the last 2 years, solicited their input on what they wanted this council to know about the Tulare Court, and listened to their concerns. The Tulare Superior Court presently consists of 19 judges with one vacancy and three subordinate judicial officers, all commissioners. It has one authorized position under AB 159 pursuant to the revised SB 56 workload calculations adopted by the council at its December 2013 meeting. Said authorized position has yet to be funded or filled. Fiscally, the court's allocation for fiscal year 2011-12 was $23,312,615. It decreased in fiscal year 12-13 to $22,107,492. And currently, thanks to a modest increase due to the WAFM allocation, it slightly increased to $22,559,379. The fund balance was $2.2 million in fiscal year 11-12. It dropped to $1.4 million in fiscal year 12-13, currently hovering around $694,000. The Tulare Court mitigated the budget-induced decline in the level of court services last year by the receipt of $1 million from the County of Tulare. Such generous assistance is unlikely to continue in the future. Staffing has been reduced in the past few years. The Schedule 7A filled positions in fiscal year 11-12 was 237 compared to the current 212 full-time employees with 8 extra help. There remains 58 vacant full-time employee positions. The court system consists of facilities as follows. 4 courthouse facilities, including the main courthouse, are located in the city of Visalia, and 1 newly constructed courthouse in the city of Porterville. Due to the budget impacts, the entire third story of the newly constructed courthouse has been closed down. The courthouse located in Tulare has been closed, and the courthouse in Dinuba has ceased all operations except to open one day a week to receive fine and fee payments only. Tulare is on the sustained justice edition for all case types except civil, which is the sustained e-court system. An effort is underway to convert all case types to the sustained e-court system. The caseload for the court in fiscal year 2010-11 was 98,922 filings, averaging 4,496 cases per bench officer. I solicit concerns that the Tulare Court has and would like the Judicial Council to know. They are, one, budget. The issue of concern focused on the budget cuts to the branch over the last several years and its draconian impact, resulting in branch closures, reduction in staff, and the decrease in accessibility to the courts by the public. Funding cuts have also adversely affected staff morale. Stress runs high. Specifically, because of the budget cuts and reduced allocations, the court has had to respond the only way it can: reduction in staff and services. This, in turn, has produced a greater workload for the remaining staff, irritability by the public, unable to easily access the court as in years past, and who blame the courts for the cause and effect instead of the funding branches of government. All this raw emotion is observed and noticed in the courtrooms. Two, public relations. Significant time was spent discussing the relationships between the judiciary with both the executive and legislative branches of the government and ways to improve and nurture such relationships. Although it was noted that the three branches are partners in government, it was also noted that the era of deferential treatment by the other branches toward the judiciary has come to an end, creating an adversarial nature to the budgeting process between the sibling branches. Support was voiced for a vigorous PR campaign to educate the public concerning the cause and effect funding system while working to strengthen interpersonal relationships by members of the judiciary with members of the other branches. Three, cost-saving legislation. Frustration over the difficulty to pass legislation that has efficiencies and cost effectiveness was stated. While the judiciary is financially squeezed by the other branches, various components of the legal community resist a variety of changes already adopted either by the federal system or in other states. Change does not come easy, and our branch is proving to be no different. Four, centralized funding balances. The proposal that the trial courts maintain only a 1% fund balance and any surplus at the end of a fiscal year pour into a centralized 2% account maintained by the AOC was concerning, specifically without a policy that earmarks said monies to the court of origin or that said centralized funds would be distributed based on the Laughlin formula. Such a pool of funds is open to being devoured by other courts. Absent optimal funding for the judiciary at all levels, particularly at the trial court level, the enormous disparity in the demand or need for funding exists. Infrastructure needs are monetarily enormous at some of the larger courts and could easily be expended by a few, if not just one, of the largest court systems. A thorough and equitable policy for distribution of funds was encouraged. Five, innovations. The Tulare Court continues to use technology and innovative thinking to combat funding shortfalls. E-warrants, e-filing, traffic call-ins, jury kiosks permitting scanning of barcode resulting in direction to where the member of the public has business in the court facility, all help to make more efficiencies and mitigate the reductions in staff and thereby provide service to the public. Six, assigned judges program. This program is truly the lifeline for the court. It provides an invaluable service to keep courtrooms open and thereby maintains continuity in courtroom services. Kudos to the AOC staff for their helpful and effective service. 7, 1% fund balance requirement. The Larry Court wants to go on record that the 1% fund balance requirement will significantly impact their court. No longer will there be sufficient cash on hand to deal with emergencies, such as damage to their server room necessitating immediate repairs, and cash to pay for said repairs, else services discontinue. The potential detrimental impact by the limited funds requirement to court operations cannot be overstated. 8, salary and furloughs. Like many other courts, Tulare II has not been able to increase employee salaries since 2008, other than some merit increases to eligible employees. The significant and continuous erosion of funding has taken its toll to the detriment of the court and the public. In all, Tulare Court is diligently working to meet the needs of its citizens with its given resources. Innovation in technology and a desire not to be satisfied with the status quo have stemmed some of the effects of funding erosion. They are eager to work with the AOC and other courts to create innovative ways to fulfill their constitutional duties and responsibilities. The Tulare County citizens should be proud of their judiciary. I have lodged a copy of this written report with staff, and with that, that concludes my report. Thank you, Chief.
Very nice. Thank you, Judge McCabe. Thank you for that thorough report, and I'm especially glad that you're able to lodge the written report with counsel, because we do like to keep an ongoing record of these liaison reports. Very good. Any comment or question or observation? Once again, I know how busy both of you are, all of us are, in our work, in daily work in the court and our assignments and our homework, and to come to counsel also to do the work attributable to that, but in addition to go and visit these courts and provide an ear and a voice and a representation is invaluable to us, bringing this information home. Thank you.